when I was born, very healthy, gorgeous newborn, I was named Darling Clementine. Time goes on, the minutes are ticking by, and my mom's like, what's that grunting? Looked in the tray of afterbirth. Oops-a-daisy, there's another baby, which is my twin darling.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Do you understand any of Christopher Nolan's films? Do you understand Inception, Tenet, Dunkirk, any of them?
So I've not seen any of those.
No, okay. Wendy. What?
You should just stay out of the fray then.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, no, I don't.
You know?
The actors sure love working with them.
Oh, yes, yeah. They do. I'm sure if you got a phone call from Christopher Nolan, you wouldn't turn it down.
Of course. Yeah. I'd do it and not understand it the whole time and be totally fine.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning!
And kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green, and this is the dear friend of mine and the co-host of this podcast, at least for the foreseeable future, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. TCB infomercial day.
Whee!
With Wendy McClendon Covey, and we're so excited to have her because there is no woman on this earth that I had a bigger, consistent crush on than Wendy. And I'm not going to share that with her because I don't want her to leave immediately.
Right.
But I'll share it now before she gets on air because she'll probably never hear it. But man, Sergeant Clementine from Reno 911 was at the top of my teenage boy list of ladies who just, I don't know, something about her just got me every time I saw her on Reno 911. You've seen
She's
her on Reno
awesome.
911.
Yeah, bridesmaid. She was the really funny
mother in the Goldbergs. She just ended a huge run on the Goldbergs. And now she's going to be on a new NBC show, I think is something about the doctor's office. We'll figure it out. We'll talk to her about it this fall. And she's on Big City Greens too.
Oh yeah,
here
she's
we've had like four people from Big City Greens.
I know,
Greens
I
on.
Love
it's
that.
Crazy, yeah.
I'm a big hit with my nephews.
I'm gonna try and get the Bluey people on here. That's what I really want. I want to pick that guy's brain, the creator of Bluey. But anyway, Big City Greens also a huge smash hit for adults and children on Disney Channel, and so we're super excited to have her in. This is one of those dream guests.
It really is.
I know that not everybody in the crowd may be super familiar with Reno 911. If you're not, you should be, quite frankly. I think it is a criminally under-conversated about television show when it comes to great comedies in the 20th
and 21st
century. I
know, I need
to go
back and watch it, really. I've watched a few episodes, but
oh my God,
kind of got under my radar.
No, they're all classic. They're so good. People say The Office, and I like The Office. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of The Office. But Reno 911, a mockumentary-style show about the Reno Sheriff's Department and the bumbling idiots who are there making arrests and pulling people over and all that. And it is just way too fun. It's criminally funny. It's criminally funny. It's so good. And she is one of the stars of the show. I mean, she made that show just as much as Officer Dangle. Officer Dangle.
Dangle.
Sheriff Dangle. That's right. And so we are super grateful to have her in here today.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So in just a few minutes, that'll come up. Until then, I wanted to talk about JoJo Siwa. Do you know JoJo Siwa? Are you hearing about this?
I've been hearing about her for a while now. She was a big Nickelodeon or Disney star.
Disney, I think.
Okay.
Disney star. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these. Listen, Disney and Nickelodeon, unfortunately for Nickelodeon's past, I did finish that whole series, by the way. And that was very disturbing, actually. So Disney and Nickelodeon, they're like pipelines for, you know, future stars and actresses. And a lot of those people will just be
A lot of singers, especially, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, there was I think Justin and Brittany came from like the Mickey Mouse Club, like the rehashed version of the Mickey Mouse Club. And a lot of, you know, Miley Cyrus, of course, had her own show on Disney for a long time. Very Hannah Montana, very popular show. And so did JoJo Siwa.
Mm-hmm.
JoJo Siwa is now trying to make that incredibly awkward transition into adulthood in
of
front of the cameras.
Yeah.
And she put out a video where she is doing some very strange dancing and trying to act like an adult. Basically, she changed her image altogether. Mm-hmm. She went from, like, you know, fresh and fruity, rooty tooty to very hardcore, sexualized, wearing weird outfits, grinding on people, making strange epileptic type dance moves. I mean, it's really, quite frankly, kind of weird. I don't think it's all, I don't think it's as weird as some people are saying. I just think it's a young lady who's trying to figure out her way in the world.
Right.
And the video probably wasn't 100% her idea. There's probably some director and producers that told her, okay, go ahead and shake like an epileptic on and grind on this girl. Right. I mean, who cares at the end of the day? There are lots of bad music videos out there. It's I kind of feel for JoJo on this one. I know she's getting a ton of hate right now, but I kind of feel for her a little bit. It's going to be an awkward transition phase for any human being. And I know she chooses to put herself out there in the spotlight. So it takes away a little bit of the, you know, empathy that I have for her. She chooses to do this. She chooses to put herself out there like this. But I feel for the girl a little bit in the sense that, like, if someone had filmed me between 19 and 25 years old, trust me, JoJo Siwa would have looked like Madonna compared to the things that I went, if she would have looked like a god compared to the things I went through and the things that I did and the weird epileptic movements I made while making love. I still make those. It's it's weird.
Yes. Yeah. Or to, you know, think about you as, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old and then all of a sudden to transition to 16.
Yeah. Or, it's weird. Yeah. Like to grow up in front of the cameras has got to be a surreal experience.
Really?
So here's why I'm bringing up JoJo. Not only is she, was she on the Disney Channel also, so there's some connection with, you know, Big City Greens, but then she was at Disney World for her 21st birthday, and she was drinking around Epcot, which is something that people do because they'd stop at every country, they get a drink. My father-in-law has done it, and trust me, it's hard to make it all the way around the Disney World,
really?
All around Epcot Lake without getting super shit-faced. Yeah, you're stopping at 12 different countries and having mixed alcohols. I mean, it's, you know.
In the sun.
Yeah, in the sun, in Florida, around screaming children and miserable human beings. And all you can see is Mickey Mouse ears everywhere. It's a little, it can be unnerving, right?
Yeah.
And then you're going to get drunk. And maybe Disney World is much better when you're drunk. I liked it when I was drunk. I liked it when I was sober. But I never went all the way around Epcot drinking everything. And so it's a tradition for people who are into Disney. And JoJo comes from the Disney family. So people were like, why is she going to Disney for her 21st birthday? Where did you go for your 21st birthday? The local pub and drink bar mat shots? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Who cares? Who cares where she's at for her 21st birthday? But she is incredibly intoxicated. And she is sitting around a table. She's like has no security around her or anything. She's sitting around a table wearing a forklift driver's vest, like a bright yellow, bright orange vest. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
You know, cut off jeans down to her knees. I mean, she looks a little ragged for JoJo Siwa, but okay, that's her new look and all, whatever. And then she is sitting around a table singing her new song, trying to get young kids and older people alike
to join
sing
in.
Along with her song, but no one knew the lyrics.
Right.
She's like trying to convince them they know the song. She's like, you know the lyrics? Sing the lyrics. And people are like, ah, bah, 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 bah. And she's like, ah, come on, sing the lyrics. And, like, ah, bah, 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 bah. And so she has to start singing herself, but no one could follow up because no one knows the lyrics. It is terribly awkward. It's a little bit cringy. And listen, at least she's drunk. At least she's drunk.
Yeah,
at least it's
that.
Not like a. At least she's not sober trying to do that. At least she was drunk.
There's that. Was it just somebody kind of standing off to the side that was filming it?
Of course.
Okay, yeah.
Because assholes can't leave anything alone. They gotta film JoJo Siwa. And the person behind the camera is actually making fun of her, like 3 feet from her. And it's like, come on. Really? I mean, listen. I make fun of a lot of people on this show. I do it all the time. And a lot of people make fun of me. They do it all the time, too. Trust me. It works both ways. If you could see that phone that I have in my in this studio, you would know that it works both ways. And as a matter of fact, our latest review says, I have no idea why.
Where the funny is or something.
I have no idea where the funny is in this show, but I actually like it when I'm doing stuff in the background.
Yeah.
Two random people talking about nothing. I mean, and 5 stars, by the way. So if that's the best we got, we know what it's like to get haters. We have them all over the place. But I just feel like a super little bit of empathy for JoJo Siwa.
Because
I'm like, oh, poor girl's just trying to make her way in the world. And by the way, Britney went through it. Madonna went through it. Every child actor that has gone through this, Jason Bateman went through it. Everybody has gone through this weird phrase. Mm-hmm. Drew Barrymore went through
it.
They all went through it and they made it out on the other end fine. I don't know if I can say the same about JoJo. Seems like she's not handling it so well. But it's her 21st birthday. She's getting shit hammered.
Let
Who
her
cares?
Have some fun.
Yeah, and then everybody's got a videotape her. People are making fun of her straight to her face. Do we have no tact left? Like,
no.
You know, make fun of her. Take her video and break it down and make fun of her that way like we do. And that way you don't have to feel so guilty about doing it right in front of her face.
Yeah, I know. People don't care.
Oh, man. Poor JoJo. I'm Team JoJo. Team JoJo.
Mm-hmm.
Of course we are.
Let her live.
Yeah. And the person everybody else hates the commercial break is like, Team JoJo. Let her live. Let her be over-sexualized for a few minutes. She'll calm down. She'll figure it out. She needs a good agent. That's what she needs. She needs a better agent.
Mm-hmm.
Because the agent would say, maybe you should go away for like 5 years and then come back as this new hyper-sexualized person. Because going straight from Disney Channel to, you know, wearing a thong and grinding on people, maybe that's not the best look. Maybe we should just give it a few days and let it happen. But and hey, look. Maybe we'll talk about this on the end of the after we talk to Wendy. But you know, Brit, our good friend Brit.
Yeah, it's,
things aren't looking so good for Brit.
Oh no!
I told you. I will be right about this. I do not think anybody should be held against their will. I do not think anybody's money should be held against their will. I do not think that conservatorships should be taken lightly at all. But I think that her family, especially her father, may have understood something that we don't understand. Mm-hmm. And now there are many people in her inner circle, it's bubbling up to the top, that are saying drugs, alcohol, bad people, taking advantage of Britney because she really doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah,
and she needs
it seems
some help.
Like that.
Yeah, so, you know. It's good to be right about one or two. This might be my fourth thing on the show that I'm actually right about. So Wendy Covey is a superstar comedic actress.
Yes, she is.
And we love her to death. And we've been so excited about doing this interview with her. She was Clementine in Reno 911. She was the mother in Goldberg's, as we mentioned. She is going to be is it St. James? What's the name of that show? Now, hold on 1 second. I want to make sure that I get this right. Because, you know, they don't come on here for their health. It's not like Wendy said, oh, I really want to talk to the commercial break.
No.
I really, really, really want to talk to the commercial break.
I think it is. It's something about the hospital, right?
Yeah. It's something about St. James Hospital. Well, let's ask her. We'll ask her. Before I get it wrong, we'll ask her. She'll tell us when it premieres. It's going to be a brand new sitcom that's starting this fall. So we're excited to have her in. She's going to talk about that, and hopefully we'll get to ask her a lot of other questions. I love Wendy. She's my teenage crush. Should I tell her? Should I be like, dear Wendy?
I think you should fanboy a little bit.
Should I fanboy a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be JoJo Siwa in this interview, and we'll we'll act strange and make epileptic seizures to Wendy.
Sounds
Let's
like a plan.
Let's do this. Chrissy, I got an idea.
Yes.
Let's go into our awkward transition phase. Why don't I cut to a break? And after I cut from that break, we'll have Wendy here with us through the magic of podcasting. And we can talk for a couple minutes about her life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. All right, we'll be back.
What? Oh, hi, it's Christina again. Here to remind you to go to tcbpodcast.com for all things audio, video, and TCBDO. Give us a follow on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And guess what? We have a new phone number. I know what you're thinking, but I promise this is the last TCB phone number you will ever have to remember. So call us and leave us a voicemail or text us at 212-433-3TCB. Once more for the people in the back, that's 212-433-3TCB. Oh, and check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. That's all for now. Let's listen to our sponsors and get back to the show.
And joining us from New Orleans is Wendy right now. Hi, Wendy.
Hello, Wendy.
Hello, gorgeous ones.
Ah.
Aren't you
what
nice?
An honor.
Battery will get you everywhere, Wendy.
You look gorgeous. I love your bangs.
Oh, you're so nice. I've been chopping them myself, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't.
Wait, you cut your own hair?
That's what you have to do with bangs.
Sometimes I cut my own hair.
Yeah,
and
I cut my own hair too, but it's a tremendously easier job than I'm sure.
Yeah, yours is like a razor.
I don't recommend it. Nah. I don't recommend it.
I cut my kid's hair and my dog's hair, and other than that, I'm staying away from it. Yeah, but I don't cut the girls' hair anymore because they're so finicky about it. Even at the young age, they're like,
"Oh yeah,
I want my ponytail, I want my buns."
My mom used to cut my hair growing up, and she would always get the bangs too short, and we would always be so upset with her.
Always. So, and always the Fiskars, like the cloth cutting scissors.
Yes.
The chunkiest scissors you can find in Texas. Come on.
I know.
Wow.
Okay, we got to ask a question because we were just talking about this, and I want to know, I want to see where you stand on this. Do you understand any of Christopher Nolan's films? Do you understand Inception, Tenet, at Dunkirk, any of them?
So I've not seen any of those.
No, okay. Wendy. What?
You should just stay out of the fray then. Yeah.
So I'm going to say, no, I don't.
Yeah. You know?
Doctors sure love working with them.
Oh, yes, they do. I'm sure if you got a phone call from Christopher Nolan, you wouldn't turn it down.
Of course. Yeah. I'd do it and not understand it the whole time and be totally fine.
There you go. That's the way to approach it.
You know what? We're dying for a viral moment. I think we just got one. Wendy has never seen a Christopher Nolan movie. That's crazy.
Please.
You are in three. Chrissy and I were talking about this before you came on. You are in three of the most iconic roles. And so I'm so grateful that you're here because these three.
It's
an honor, honestly.
I'm honored.
The Goldbergs. Bridesmaids, and the criminally undermentioned when talking about the best comedy shows ever, Reno 911, is like, those are three incredibly iconic roles. Was Reno 911 your very first like major television role?
It was.
And it's been for like 20 years consistently,
20
constantly.
20 years.
Isn't that crazy?
20 years.
That's crazy.
How did you get the job as with Reno 911? How did you get the role?
It's funny. And some magazine, I think it was Cracked, just did a big, long article with all of us, anyone that they could find that had ever been part of it, on how this all came together. And this is my version. They had done a pilot for Fox. Fox sat on it for 2 years and never did anything with it.
No.
So then they presented it to Comedy Central because they had been on Comedy Central before on the state, had good relationships with them, mm-hmm. and said, "Hey, what do you think about this, you know, improvised cop show?"
Yeah.
And they said, "Great. Let's do it." Well, one of the other deputies from the first pilot, she was on something else, so they needed to look for someone who could improvise. And the casting director's assistant saw me when I was understudying someone else in some other comedy show.
No way.
That's like an Inception moment.
That is an Inception moment. If you had seen the movie, you'd know.
And it was at a time when I personally was like, maybe I'm just not getting anywhere in this business. Maybe I need to just make my peace with the fact that, you know, I did just get into the Groundling Theater, which is no small feat.
No, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a real agent. I didn't have anything going for me. I would go to the theater for rehearsals and stuff and hear everybody talking about all these auditions they went on. And I was like, I'm not doing it on anything. Anyway, I sort of made my peace with it and was like, okay, look, maybe I will never make any money doing this, but this is my life now.
Yeah.
I have this opportunity at the Groundlings. This doesn't happen for everybody. So it happens for very few people. So I got to take this chance and just keep working, keep doing my thing. And even if nothing ever works out, I will have an interesting life doing
this. It's a story that you can, that very few people in their life will be able to say. It's an exclusive club to be
exactly,
in the Groundlings.
Exactly, very exclusive club. So I kind of made my peace with it and was like ready to throw my headshots off the pier. And then I got this call. Oh, you know, we saw you in this weird little show you were doing, so let's bring you in. And it was one of those nightmare situations, not for me at the time, but for most people, they would find it a nightmare that everyone can hear what you're doing in the audition room because the walls are so thin.
Yeah, that's got to be terribly like stressful and anxiety inducing.
Yeah. So I could hear what everybody's doing, and I'm thinking, well, that's not funny at all. They want a sexy cop, and I don't know that I can play that, but I can play someone who thinks she's sexy.
Right.
That's funnier. That's
smart. Yeah.
So I did that, and while I was in the waiting room, you know, sometimes there's someone who is known for, like, trying to psych people out of their auditions. You
I've
know?
Heard really? Of that. I've
Some
heard of that.
People just come into the, mm-hmm. in the audition room, and they come up to you, and they just start talking to you, but making you kind of lose your confidence or lose your concentration. Uh-huh. And someone was doing that to me.
They were playing head games with you.
Playing what head games fuck? With me. But the thing is it's improv. So yeah, play all right. the head games you want. Once I go in there, none of this means anything. I don't even know what they're going to ask me to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not forgetting any lines, you bitch.
Dipshit.
So I went in, I did my thing, and then I get a call that night. Okay. That was amazing. Come in the next time. Do the exact same thing. And I did. And then I called my manager and I said, hey, I think I booked a pilot.
Whoa.
And she was like, what? I didn't know you went out for a pilot.
Do you have a new manager?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just checking.
Yeah. Anyway. The rest is history. We did our dumb little thing. And it should be noted that this paid so little money that I had another job. I had an office job while I was
You had an office job while you were doing Reno 911?
I had an office job up until I got the Goldbergs.
You are kidding me.
Wow. That's how things pay.
Yeah.
So even 5-6 seasons. I mean, listen, I understand it's Comedy Central. It's not ABC, mm-hmm. right? There's yeah. different budgets. And it's an improv show. It's probably, you're probably working on very little budget every episode.
Just, and it's basic cable.
And it's basic cable. But you would think that it would pay you enough to at least live. Like, you know, living wage.
I guess I could have, but I didn't want to take that chance.
Yeah, right. fair enough.
Right.
Yeah,
no,
you just decided.
I did buy a brand new Honda for cash.
There you go.
Good for you.
But yeah, all through everything else I did, rules of engagement, bridesmaids, up until the Goldbergs. And I wouldn't have quit, but the journal folded. I was working for a social work journal.
Okay.
At Cal State Long Beach. So anyway, yeah. So that happened. And who knew this thing would never be off the air?
I know.
Are you,
it doesn't pay residuals.
I was just about to ask, does it pay residuals? It does not?
No. The movies,
Wendy,
the movies
criminal.
Do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we got, when Quibi came out, I don't know if you remember that.
It was 15 minutes long. It lasted for 15 minutes.
Just like every episode of every show.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so they, you know, they brought us back and it was insane.
Yeah, they were paying you a lot of money.
To try to get back into that headspace while I'm on another show playing the complete opposite character.
Right, right.
And we banged out, what, 2 or 3 more movies.
Yeah. There's so many movies and there's so many episodes of that show.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll go back to the well with Reno 911 or is it?
I mean, I don't know if who would pay for such a thing at this point. I mean, we're lucky that we did that, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Comedy Central ended up buying all the Quibi stuff or the Roku channel. It's airing somewhere.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, if they call me, of course I'll go back, but I don't. That's a hard call because so many of us are working.
Yeah.
It's really hard to schedule everybody together.
Sure.
Sure.
So yeah,
everyone's moved on and it's like, you got to get everybody's time. And then does everybody want to do it? And are the characters still relevant? Listen, I would say yay, because I could watch Reno 911 and the Goldbergs back to back to back for the rest of my life and probably be highly entertained. And the thing I love about Reno 911 and your character Clementine and the way you interact with Dangle is that honestly, every time I watch an episode, you pick up something different, something funny that is just like subversive or you didn't notice in the first one. It's got so many little funny parts that I think you miss on the first watch, but you get on the second one. It's an iconic role. And I mean, I can imagine when you are on the Goldbergs, and which is not basic cable, which is like, you know, biggest network in the world. Disney owned all this other stuff. And you're working a day job or a night job or whatever it is in the office. Does that lead to some interesting conversations with people in the office?
Yeah.
Is it just kind of like,
by the time the Goldberg started, I had quit.
You moved on. Okay. Gotcha.
Because there was no time. There was no time. Like, I missed birthdays. I didn't take vacations. Like, I was tired.
Yeah,
bad.
I was doing so much with this other, you know, with my other stuff. The great thing about this job is that I could come and go whenever I wanted. Nobody cared when I came in or if I came in, just as long as I did my work and turned it in.
Oh, brilliant.
And it was only a 20-hour-a-week thing. So I would be skulking around there late at night, photocopying things and turning things in, answering mail. And sometimes there would be professors there working on their own stuff. And I remember this one guy says, "Oh, you're the one that's an actress or something? Yeah. Are you in that new Bridesmaids thing? Yeah. Oh, I hear it's terrible."
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Who says that to somebody?
First of all.
And what is your name, sir? Yeah.
And who the fuck says that after actually seeing Bridesmaids? It was a runaway hit. It's the funniest fucking movie ever. I swear to God it is.
Oh, God. It was just like, I don't know what's going to happen with it. I mean, it didn't get great reviews in the beginning.
It really didn't. Yeah.
It was a very polarizing review-wise, but the box office said differently. So, you know.
And I could watch that movie anytime. In fact, it popped up just the other day on something I was watching, and I was like, yep, want to keep watching the whole entire rest of it.
Well, this is so stupid, but have you seen the DVD extras?
I have not seen the DVD extras.
Well, let me delight you with this information. There is like 3 more hours of movie.
What?
There are entire characters that were cut out.
Really?
It
was very ambitious, and the whole thing was just way too damn long. And there's deleted scenes. All kinds of fun stuff. So if
I've got to get that now. And I have a DVD player still. Okay. So
yeah, so do I. So now I'm going to go get
Bridesmaids.
And I think
a lot of it lives on YouTube as well. So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I've got to watch that. Yeah. Thank you for that tip.
Were you and Kristen Wiig, were you in Groundlings together, right? Or you were in the same class together?
Yeah. Me and Kristen and the other writer, Annie Mumolo.
Uh-huh.
And Melissa
McCarthy.
Yeah, we were all at the Groundlings at the same time. Maya was, I think her picture was still on the wall, but she wasn't performing with us. She was on SNL.
Yeah.
And we all met at someone else's wedding shower, but nobody else remembered that. I will never forget it because it was at Melissa's house or Melissa's apartment, but she wasn't there because she was filming Gilmore Girls.
Oh my God.
We were all there, and like Kristen and I were broke. I mean, not broke, but like we didn't. This was all like, my God, we're just trying to get somewhere.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. We were still very much in the, I got to scrape some money together to buy a wig for this next performance.
Sure.
Oh, we get it, Wendy.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah. Okay. You're in the trenches with that. Uh-huh.
Yes, we are.
Wigs
and
everything. Yeah. So, yeah, that happened. And then, I mean, the rest is history. But I was also there with Michaela Watkins.
Yep.
And Nat Faxon, Jim Rash. From Unity.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Groundlings. Yeah. It's like the Groundlings is an incubator for extraordinary comic talent, right? And I'm sure there are so many names that we could mention and associated with the Groundlings that have gone on to do some of the most hilarious work.
Jennifer Coolidge.
She's brilliant. Yeah. When you go to do Bridesmaids, does Kristen call you up? Does she say, "Hey, listen, I want you to take this role in Bridesmaids," or
No, we all had to audition. We had to audition.
Damn it, Kristen. I thought you were cool.
You know, she called us, she and Annie called us in probably 2007.
Jeez.
To do the table read. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Movies take a while.
Yeah.
They do.
And we all did that. It was fun. And then when it came back, you know, came time to like, oh, this might actually happen. I was just thrilled that they thought of me.
Sure.
To come in. And my grandpa had just died. And I went in. I was not feeling funny. It was like on a Saturday or some ridiculous thing. And I'm just like, yes, I'll go in. I didn't want to. I wanted to cancel and sulk. But I went in and we improvised something. And I thought, oh, well, that's really nice that they let me come in.
Sure.
And then I got called back. And I went in and there were like all these big name people. Yeah. In the waiting room, and I thought, well, I'm not going to get it. But again, very nice that they brought me back.
Yeah.
And then Kristen and Annie did that thing where they called me up and they're like, look, you did the best you could. And I just wanted you to know that we want you to do it. But, you know, they played it out, really dragged it out. And I'm thinking, just get to the bloody point. I didn't get it. But I did. And you know, listen, I just thought, oh, we're making a fun movie with Judd Apatow. And who knows? Whatever. Maybe I'll get to make some more movies. You know, you never know how anything's going to go.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So.
What a mature attitude to take when you're in the trenches, right? Because I imagine that acting especially, but just like comedy, you're going to get up there. Sometimes you're going to flail around. You're going to fail. There's going to be a lot more failure than there will be successes. And anybody who's had probably any longevity in any entertainment venture knows that the failures lead to some minor successes that then lead to something that blows up. And Bridesmaids may not have gotten great reviews, but obviously anyone who's seen it knows it's fucking hilarious. Yeah. Right. And it's a classic comedy movie now. And so, but what a mature attitude to take. Like, hey, listen, if I get it, I get it. And if I don't, it was nice. I'm grateful for the opportunity to walk in and sharpen my teeth just a little bit more.
Yeah.
And
probably for your mental health.
That's how you have to look at everything. If you place so much importance on every audition, you're going to go insane.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is, you're not going to get most of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll remember you for something else if you were good.
Right.
You know, if you can take direction, there's so much of it that has nothing to do with you and you can't even think about it.
Yeah.
So, if you want to stay in it for the long term, that's how you have to think about things.
Question about both Reno 911 and Bridesmaids. Those are largely improv projects, right? Mm-hmm. Is that why there's 3.5 hours of extra movie that's not on there?
Yeah.
They just kept taking take. Okay, let's try this. Okay, let's try this line. Yeah. Okay, now let's put him in this situation and then we'll whittle it down.
Or the takes just keep going on and on and on because everyone's firing on all cylinders and there's no way you can use all that.
No.
Yeah. But was a written script for Bridesmaids. And if you read it, which I have not in a long time. There's a lot. I mean, you're going to not recognize a lot of it.
Yeah,
sure.
But I couldn't tell you like how much ended up, like what the percentages ended up being of improv and scripted in the film. But Reno, literally all we ever got was like a couple of sentences.
Yeah.
Did you film a large majority of that in Reno?
We filmed none of it in Reno.
It was all in LA?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Yeah. That's interesting.
Because if we had gone there...
you never would have survived.
No. No. How many people do you think would have made it to the set in the morning?
Right, exactly.
Or gambled away their paychecks, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, do you audition for the Goldbergs, or did they call you for that role?
They called me for that because I was on a show called Rules of Engagement. They brought me in for a one-off, and I did like 14 episodes or something like that. I ended up staying a lot, playing Liz, the crazy cat lady, with one long boob.
Yes.
Which was really, really fun. And so it was the same production company and a really cool couple of producers, Annette Davis and Doug Robinson. They were helping produce the Goldbergs, and I weirdly look a lot like Adam's mom,
Beverly,
in real life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that show was originally called How the Bleep Am I Normal?
Oh.
It wasn't called The Goldbergs. And then it was called The Goldens.
The Goldens.
And then the president of ABC at the time said, just call them The Goldbergs.
Best move ever.
So if anyone, you know, has a problem that a non-Jew was playing a Jew, that's how that came about. And we didn't even, I don't even think we mentioned Hanukkah or anything till like season three. So
yeah.
That's become a wee bit of an issue in the past couple of years.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's how that happened. And
did
sorry,
you expect?
There you go.
I did okay with that role. So.
Yeah, exactly. More than okay.
When you were reading The Goldbergs, when they call you up and they say, "Here's the script, and you know, check it out. Do you think you can do this?" Did you? You're so good in that role. You like, you know, as a young man watching Reno 911, I have a little crush on Clementine, right? But then when I see you as Beverly, you're totally my mom. It's so weird that you play these two opposites, but it's so good. Did the part really resonate with you? Did you expect it to become such a hit?
Well, again, I was just like, I'm so happy to do this. I really hope it goes on forever.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing that made me say, oh, I'm doing this one, is the video package that they sent me of the home movies.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I know this lady. I get it. I get it big time. Because my mom was a smother as well.
Yeah.
A Baptist smother, but very much like act first, apologize later.
Yeah.
Everyone's out to get you. I am your sanctuary.
Yeah.
I will do anything for you. You know, and that's just good parenting. I'm sorry.
I agree.
There's worse things in life than to have a mother that loves you, for God's
sake. Right.
Yeah.
I was watching a video and they were talking about the difference between nurturing and smothering and how that affects children as they grow up. And the psychiatrist who had written a book on this particular show said, it doesn't matter. There is no difference.
Yeah.
What makes a child like independent, able to work in the world, is the kind of love that is shown. It doesn't matter if they're smothering or if they're nurturing. It's almost the same thing.
Yeah.
What matters is, do they have a safe place to the fall? Mm-hmm. Do they put guardrails? And do they know they can always turn to somebody when they need help? He's like, that's what makes an independent person. Can they go out on their own, but do they know they have a soft place
exactly.
to fall?
Exactly.
And so we all know that. Yeah, my mother was like that too. I think that's a pretty common, you know.
It's a pretty
mothers.
Common thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to be at like Comic-Con and have, you know, it's not like a lot, this happened a lot, but it happened enough for me to get a little freaked out by it. You know, people coming up, I wish I had a mom like you.
I know, it's kind of sad.
When you go to these Comic Cons, some people are like totally freaky about it? They're like, oh
I'm
my
sure
God.
There's freaky
there's
people.
There's gotta be. I mean, there's freaky people everywhere.
I mean, I'm sure.
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing. And I haven't gone to a Comic Con since before COVID. But it's such an interesting phenomenon.
It really is.
That people will pay so much money to buy these bobbleheads or dress in character and just let their freak flags fly. But they love it. And you find that they know your show better than you do a lot of times.
Yes.
So, like, if you get lazy with the continuity and you think no one's going to notice, you're wrong. They're going to notice. And they will... They will be very specific about what you did that was incorrect. And it's like, okay, well, that's good to know.
Imagine.
That's good feedback. People are paying attention.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? Like, did you realize in episode number 14 that the glass moved from the left to the right in scene 32? It's like, okay, dude, settle down. It's just a television show.
Exactly. But
it is weird, though, to have
this. Keep you on your toes.
True.
It is weird to have this phenomenon where... Mm-hmm. you know, Comic-Con, when I was a child and Comic-Con was just, or when I was my in a teenager, Comic-Con was just getting started, Comic-Con and Dragon-Con and all this stuff, it really, like, appealed to a certain sci-fi or horror sect of the population. People right. who are, like, really into this Star Trek and Star Wars and stuff yeah. like that. And now it's expanded, mm-hmm. and there are so many mainstream television shows where all yeah. of these characters... where actresses like you or actors in other movies, they can go and they can, mm-hmm. you know, make a few extra bucks and touch and talk to the fans one-on-one. And those people go crazy for it.
Yeah, it's
they
like a tribe.
They have BravoCon, for God's sake. BravoCon.
That's their own thing, too.
Don't yeah. get me started. Do not get me started.
Do you yeah, watch and, Bravo? And
what's that?
Do you watch Bravo? Are you like a Bravo?
Oh, I quit cold turkey.
Good for
in,
you.
2014 because I no 20 I, when was the shutdown
2020
yeah.
yeah 4 years ago I was so into it and then
yeah.
I became so ashamed of myself like why do I care
I did the same thing now I've since picked back up on a couple of them but yeah I couldn't watch any of that stuff I was like this is so outside of reality yeah. and it made me feel icky. Yeah.
I mean, and you really watch people drink the Kool-Aid and mm-hmm. start to love their fame and start to do yeah. anything they can to stay, you know, making those
very true.
Little paychecks
mm-hmm. yeah.
for reality mm-hmm. TV and then get podcasts. I don't know. It's yeah. not my thing anymore, but
yeah.
Listen, when I first saw Real Housewives of Atlanta so many years back when it
we're
came on.
We're in Atlanta, by the way.
Oh, so okay. I've spent a lot of time in Atlanta.
They're nice. They're not in Atlanta. They're not technically in Atlanta. Most of them are not wives, and they're not living in their own houses. What is real about this? There's nothing real about
yeah.
this. It's all just manufactured drama. And then we know somebody who was on one of the seasons. And
oh, wow.
It was surreal.
It was yeah. surreal and not real. It was like, oh my
yeah,
gosh, this is
not
just
who
so
she was.
So crazy for
yeah,
sure.
Weird.
You are now a part of a television show that is another huge hit, and we've had a number of these the voice actresses
yeah.
and actors on the show from Big City,
City
Greens
yes.
on Disney. I mean,
how fun!
Yeah,
so fun. So
Paul
fun.
Shear, we had Paul Shear, and
we did have Paul Shear. Yeah,
was the other
I don't
one
know
recently.
The other one. Yeah,
but yeah, you've got to be the third one, and I mean, you're the mom, right?
I'm the motorcycle mom.
Yeah,
four years in a movie or two movies. Yeah, we had a Christmas movie and Spacecation, which comes out on June 6th. So
Spacecation, yeah. June 6th.
I'm
marking my calendar.
Yeah, I'm going to yes. tell my nephews.
I know I can. Keep my kids occupied for 90 minutes.
Right. And the actress who plays the grandma.
Yeah.
yeah.
Grandma's
Artemis Hebdani. He was also in The Groundlings at the same time as me. And she played Lunch Lady Doris on The Goldbergs.
Oh, wow.
And she has a coffee house out here in NOLA.
So, no way.
Yeah. Small world, right?
What?
That is insane.
Yeah.
Do you do the, when you read for Big City Greens, I mean, I don't know, I know some, every animation is different, but when you read for Big City Greens, is it a group read? Are you in the same room? Are you bouncing off each other? Or is it just, I just do my parts and then someone else comes and does their parts?
The only time I've ever gotten to be in the room with other actors is for Bob's Burgers.
Okay.
Is that right? I think that's right. Yeah. So I go in and I do my stuff all by myself.
And do you enjoy the voice work?
I love it.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's so
yeah.
fun. And it's so gratifying when you finally see it.
Yeah.
Right.
I can only imagine.
And because really when you see it or when you're in the booth, most of the time it's just the animatic. So it's just the rough drawings.
Yeah.
And you're doing it to scratch. Like, so someone else has dubbed in your voice as a place saver. So they
yeah.
need you to come in and bring life to it. And it's fun, but it's a challenge because a lot of times the physicality is stuff that you would never do in real life. So you
mm-hmm.
don't know how to like fall off a motorcycle and catch a pizza in your mouth.
Yeah.
So that might take a while
yeah.
to get that right. But That's, again, what makes it so fun. And, you know, these little challenges like, okay, can I play this off? I really don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. And there's times when I've punched my own stomach or, you know, you've got to run so you can get that panting going or whatever. But it's the most fun. And Big City Greens is adorable. It's such a cute show.
I know. And how did it work? I know my nephews were introducing me to it a little while back with a live, it was a hockey game.
The hockey game. That's what my kids have been watching.
We're doing, a simultaneous.
That
game.
It was a live. I don't think the actual, I think there were two sportscasters that were animated. And then they had a live hockey game that was actually on another, I think on ABC. Mm-hmm. And then they put, I guess, what they did was they had the characters playing out the live hockey game while it was going on. And then they had two separate sportscasters that were animated that were calling it for children.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's adorable, and I know nothing about that. This is the first time hearing about that, but what a great opportunity for cross-pollination.
I know, right? Now you're in the know.
Between Big City Greens and Bluey, the other show that's on Disney currently making adults crazy, you know, so many adults talking about Big City Greens, so many adults talking about Bluey, and we've been talking a lot about how animation is just on another level these days. They're shows that most of them are shows that adults and children can watch, mm-hmm. and they get each of us get something out of it, right?
Right.
And Big City Greens is one of those. So I thank you for making a watchable animation show with my children.
Well, I'm gonna thank the Houghton brothers for you because I just show up and do my thing. But I like the way that. The kids have good relationships with their divorced parents, and their divorced parents are not sniping at each other all the time.
Right.
They're not at each other all the time.
Yeah, yeah, they're just, didn't work out, whatever. We can still live and have a good time.
It's a sassy little show with a little bit of, you know, moral nuggets in there that, like, you can appreciate that your children are absorbing, or hope that they're absorbing.
Right.
So tell us about the television show coming out. When's St. Dennis coming out?
St. Dennis is coming out in, I'm going to say the fall.
Okay.
I don't have an air date yet.
Yeah. Okay.
They haven't told us. They'll probably tell us at the upfronts in a couple weeks.
What about the Vicky White story really quick?
Thank you about that.
I mean, it was so fascinating. It's so riveting. And I mean, tell us about playing that part.
Okay. So a couple years ago, we were doing one more season of The Goldbergs, and I was offered a development deal by Sony, and we were talking about the kinds of things I'd like to do. And I said, you know, I don't know if you guys are watching the news right now, but have you seen that blonde prison guard that died? And she was sneaking her boyfriend out and blah, blah, blah. I think I could play her, and I think that story is pretty juicy.
It is.
And in pretty short order, it was set up.
Wow.
And it was set up for Lifetime, which I was like, oh, I never saw myself doing a Lifetime movie. Whatever.
But sure, but whatever.
I was half serious when I said I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So they got some screenwriters, and we looked at samples and read their treatment, and I loved their take on it because my take was the same way, which is I don't think that she was coerced into anything. You cannot coerce a woman in her 50s to do anything she doesn't want to do.
Very true.
Yeah.
I think she snapped. She was sick of doing everything the right way for so long with no reward.
Mm-hmm.
And someone saw her.
Yep.
And loved her. And she went off the deep end.
Exactly.
That's what I think happened. And I think the 11 days that they were on the run were probably the best of her adult life.
Yep. Mm.
That's an interesting take. And I think you might be right about that.
Yeah. There is no logic in it because love is not a logical emotion.
Yeah, an infatuation.
That is.
I think we can point to times in our own lives where we did dumb things, and we can, you know, just watch the news.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or watch Real Housewives. You know, but I think that, you know, because this was not a bad person, and she was Employee of the Year so many years in a row. She took care of her ex-husband who had Parkinson's. She took care of him until the day he died. He died in January. She's dead in April.
Wow.
Wow.
She snapped.
She snapped, yeah. Yeah, so for sure.
We filmed that last summer, last June, just in time for the strike to happen.
For the strike.
So we finished in time for the strike, but the strike kept going on, so we couldn't promote it when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still available
on Amazon.
It's still available.
Yep.
And I'm really proud of it. I think we did a good job of making a non-Lifetime movie.
Exactly.
Not so true. I'm trying to diss Lifetime. But they have a certain flavor.
They do have a certain flavor.
Yeah, you think of a certain thing.
This is a little grittier than that.
It is.
I'm proud of us.
Oh, well, I loved it.
Lifetime Christmas movie. I'll tell you that much right now.
Well, doesn't Hallmark really have
the monopoly on the Christmas movies? They do.
I'm getting my channels mixed up. You're so right about that.
I think there's a convention.
You know there's a convention.
Hallmark, yes.
And it's in July.
Exactly.
Christmas.
Hallmark Christmas. Hallmark Christmas con.
it's the day after Easter.
All right. So tell us about St. Denis real quick, because I want to make sure that people tune in. So it's coming out in fall.
Yes. And that one came about in an interesting way as well. So
tell us.
We get this was on a Wednesday. I'll never forget. On a Wednesday, I get a call from one of our producers on the Goldbergs, and I know what this is about. We're not coming back. We're not coming back. And I'm like, you know, but it's 10 years.
Right.
It's 10 years.
The kids are aging. It's hard to write storylines. I get it. Yeah.
It's nothing lasts that long anymore. So
yeah,
we had a great run, but you know, it is bittersweet to say goodbye to your work family.
Family. Yes.
And I'm talking every last grip, every makeup artist, every art props guys I still text with. Like, I love those people.
Yeah, 10 years of your life is a long time.
And this is the part where I rudely interrupt the interview to explain to you that the last 2.5 minutes of our conversation with Wendy was not recorded for whatever reason. Probably because we're really bad at technology, but maybe it wasn't our fault? Question mark. So let me recap what happened in the last couple minutes of that conversation. Wendy explained she really loved her time in the Goldbergs and that no show runs that long anymore. So the last episode that they filmed together, everyone was crying and had a really sad time because they loved each other and they'd been around each other for almost a decade. Then I fanboyed out a little bit, told Wendy how much I loved her. She said, "Aw, shucks." I felt embarrassed because her husband was standing in the room. I quickly wrapped up the interview, said goodbye, and it sounded something like this. "Bye, Wendy. Thanks for coming. Bye, guys. Really enjoyed it. See you later. Goodbye." So now that you have the rest of the story, and my apologies to you and to Wendy, let's take a short break and we'll be back.
What? Oh, hi, it's Christina again. Here to remind you to go to tcbpodcast.com for all things audio, video, and TCBDO. Give us a follow on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at tcbpodcast. And guess what? We have a new phone number. I know what you're thinking, but I promise this is the last TCB phone number you will ever have to remember. So call us and leave us a voicemail or text us at 212-433-3TCB. Once more for the people in the back, that's 212-433-3TCB. Oh, and check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. That's all for now. Let's listen to our sponsors and get back to the show.
Love Wendy. I get my fanboying in control. I feel proud of myself. I did not JoJo Siwa all over
the
place.
I'm proud of you too.
Oh, love Wendy. So now you've heard it straight from her mouth, and now I'm going to tell you straight from the website. St. Denis Medical premieres this fall, and it's a mockumentary about an underfunded, understaffed hospital, and Wendy plays like the executive director of the hospital. So it's from the same guy who wrote Superstore and American Auto. Both, I think, good shows that were canceled, but good shows in their own right. But, you know, everything she touches turns to gold.
I know.
She was in Bridesmaids. You heard the story. They filmed over 37,000 hours for Bridesmaids.
I know. I have to go out.
And you can see it on the DVD. I have to go out and buy it.
I know.
You know,
I haven't bought a DVD in forever either, but I would buy that to see the outtakes.
I have this like soft spot in my heart for Bridesmaids. Not only do I think it's one of the funniest movies ever created, it is really like a breakout comedy hit. Who made the careers of a lot of people, solidified the careers of a lot of people. But it also is the first American comedy movie that Astrid was laughing out loud to.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because, you know, comedy is different everywhere you go, and mm-hmm. there are certain things are funny. And comedy, you know, they say real estate is local. I think comedy is local, too. Like, you know, Americans have their certain brand of comedy, and in the UK they do, and everywhere around the world, the Spaniards have their own version. The Venezuelans do, too, and the Latin Americans do also. And so the comedy is not always the same. And if culturally, it's not easy to pick up on some of those things if you're not embedded in it. But Astrid, I'll never forget, she had just moved here and Bridesmaids had come out and it was on whatever premium channel, HBO or whatever. And we watched it and she was like laughing out loud. And she's like, this is a really funny movie. And I get it. Like, I understand.
Oh yeah.
It.
Jeff loves it too. We just caught it a couple of months ago, I think, on TV, and whenever it's on, I just keep watching it. John Hamm's in it too.
Yeah.
It's
John so Hamm's funny. In it. That's right. Yeah. And then that Irish guy, I do love that Irish guy. Yes. He has a television show called like Ronnie's Boy or something. It's something, it's on Amazon, Mooney, or I can't remember what it is, but it's only got 2 seasons, which sucks. I wish they had more seasons of it. But it's such a fucking funny movie. And if that, like, if what they came up with was an hour and 45 minutes and they really filmed like 5 hours of material, I would love to see that hours of material. I really would. So anyway, thank you to Wendy for coming. Make sure you tune in to Big City Greens, and then make sure also that you tune in to St. Denis Medical coming on this fall. So we don't have a specific date for the premiere, but I'm sure you will stay tuned and watch NBC, because you're likely to plug your cable back in, because all the streaming channels are doing whatever the fuck they're doing. I don't even know.
Well, now Peacock streams NBC stuff.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you can go to Peacock. But I don't know what's going on. Now I got to go to Netflix to watch the HBO shit, and then I turn
it's
on.
It's all over the place. You were just talking about that, and it made me realize it too. When I was on another streaming service, I'm like, oh, wait, that was on something else a while back, and like, now it's over here and there and everywhere. Whatever.
Wasn't Sex and the City like one of the biggest comedy hits for HBO in history? Like,
oh, yeah.
It was like one of the most popular television shows in history or something like that, and now it's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I can't watch it on HBO, but I can watch it over on Netflix. I don't get it. I really don't understand. How is that even possible?
I don't know.
Maybe we should ask JoJo
Siwa.
There's
buying and selling going on. Science.
Science. JoJo Siwa. I'll put a little sex in there and then maybe a thong or two. Go to Disney World. Stop at all the countries in Epcot and bam! JoJo Siwa is an adult sexualizer now. JoJo Siwa! She'll be the biggest pop star ever!
Probably.
Mark my words. I was thinking about it when we were on break. I was thinking about JoJo Siwa, and I was thinking about Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
And how, remember when Wrecking Ball came out?
Oh, yeah.
And she was like humping the ball, and everyone was like, oh, that's fucked up. She's like, what the fuck is going on? But the song was a nugget, and everybody fucking loved it. And now it's like, you know, a mainstay of dance clubs. And what happened to Miley Cyrus? She became like the biggest pop star.
She's hugely successful.
Ever. She's hugely successful. Does things her own way. So maybe JoJo's just taking notes from Miley Cyrus.
Just go completely opposite.
Yeah, maybe she's just being a little bit more awkward about it. But anyway, Team JoJo over here. We're Team JoJo Siwa. So JoJo, you want to come on drunk or not drunk, preferably drunk, come on the show. We'd be happy to have you. You want to smash right into adult life? I'll give you a training course.
Yes, you
can. You too can be one step away from bankruptcy. It's science. With your very own podcast. Now you're famous. You need a podcast. Every celebrity now has a podcast.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes,
every single one
do.
Of them. Yeah, every day I read that podcast news, and a new celebrity has a new podcast. We don't have a fighting chance.
No.
Thanks for listening. I hope you tune in for a very, very long time. All right. There you go. Wow.
Wendy.
Wendy, man. I'm still a little shell-shocked. And by the way, Wendy looks just as good now as she did back then.
I know, I know. She's got some bangs, too, that I really like.
Good jeans or good docs, Chrissy?
Yeah, both.
I didn't have the balls to ask her. You got to go watch Reno 911.
I will.
Watch it from head to toe.
I've got a watch list now.
And as she said, there's like 5 or 6 movies out there. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I've watched 2 of them. Watch the episodes. The movies are good, but the episodes are where classic comedy happens. Mm-hmm. Classic country on 96.7 The Legend.
The old legend.
I actually turned on my radio in the car for the first. We were talking about it, and I was like, let me check and see what's doing on that radio, that FM and that AM dial.
Yeah. I don't even know how to turn on the radio in my car.
Well, we'll be on again tomorrow in case you turn on your radio dial and decide you need something else. We'll be on again tomorrow just for you.
Yes.
All right, TCB Podcast. That's where you go to find out more information about the show, all the show notes, all the links to Wendy's stuff. It'll all be there. So go to the show notes on your favorite podcast player. You can also download the free Odyssey app, the home of the commercial break. The free Odyssey app. There is no charge. We don't have a premium version of this. There's no premium version of this show. But you can download that and listen to us on the Odyssey app if you're so inclined. We also would love to give you your free TCB sticker. Go to the website, hit the Contact Us button, drop-down menu, I want my free sticker. Give us your address, and away it will go. Promise it'll get there in 7 to 12 months. Sometime. We'll figure it out.
At some point.
We can pay for the postage. We'll send it to you. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. We'd like you on the show. So if you want to come on, leave us a message and tell us you want to come on. Give us some information about what you'd like to talk about, and someone will get back to you. You can also leave questions, comments, concerns, content ideas via text or voicemail to that line. Rings right here in the studio. Add the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dr. Phil. Okay, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
But I will tell you that I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you, Wendy. And those of you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say.
Goodbye.